Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
Here on Money FM 89.3, I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Amid the various work from home arrangements, as employers adopt various levels of remote working options, employee well-being remains to be front of mind for many employees as working from home continues to take a toll. Today on Health Suites, we take a closer look at well-being initiatives for employees. Up next on Money FM 89.3.
Health Suites with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero. Joining me on the phone today, Bitul Genk, Country Manager, Adecco Singapore and Spring Professional. We talk about rethinking employee well-being in this post-pandemic world. Bitul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Clarissa.
Now, perhaps we start by setting the stage. Give us an overview of what Adecco does and how it's going to relate to what we're going to be talking about.
All right. Thank you again. Well, Adecco is a Fortune 500 leading global HR solutions company. We are providing a comprehensive array of workforce solutions and consulting services. And we work towards reinventing the workforce solution for a resilient economy, as well as creating a talent platform to address the ever-changing landscape for skill shortage and transformation. I, as the country manager for Singapore at the Adecco Group, I do oversee the operations here in Singapore, and I can proudly say that we successfully help over 1,500 people find new and exciting careers every year. So in a way, we actually help everyone perform or drive their future work here in Singapore.
Okay, so basically, when we break it down, you are also exposed to what the concerns are of employees going into a new environment. Now, let's talk about what's top of mind of many of us employees. It is the stigma of mental health issues at the workplace. Now, there are among us those who don't believe highlighting the stresses and strains on our mental well-being will translate well for our career progression. How do employers address that?
Well, that's indeed a very correct way of voicing this out. It's not related directly with the pandemic, but I think this has always been there. Mm-hmm. And mental health is often stigmatized, as you mentioned. And I do believe that many employees deliberately don't voice out because of the negative impact that they feel that potentially this might bring. However, I think as employers, it plays a very important role in leading and normalizing such conversations around mental health, really giving them the comfort and the trust on to speak up. Not necessarily that, you know, there is an issue all the time, but just giving the confidence that they can reach out to voice out any issues, any concerns, or just regularly checking in on how they are doing this. I mean, obviously, when we are doing this, we should be super sensitive in setting the precedent and the tone for addressing those. And we should be always creating a culture of psychological safety where everyone feels comfortable discussing those struggles or insecurities, whatever it might be for them.
You know, the COVID-19 pandemic has also presented unique challenges. Work from home, being separated from your colleagues, being separated from your bosses. It has created new issues, isolation, a feeling of disconnect from what the company is doing and what the rest of the team is doing. But I'm actually wondering, even before COVID-19, but maybe even more so now, how important is the mental well-being of employees to a business?
It is super important. And if I need to break down that super important maybe into some numbers there, Clarissa, well, there has been many studies around this topic. I mean, the one that I'd like to mention is 33% of those employees feeling more reclusive and 30% that are uncommunicating at work. I think when we add up these or even, you know, on their own, they represent quite a scary number of inefficiency if we were to look at it from an efficiency perspective. It's not only looking at an efficiency, but also these are our people, right? We've been investing a lot of time in, you know, hiring them, retaining them, reskilling them in many cases. As you mentioned, you know, the pandemic hasn't really helped. We do observe longer working hours, packed online meeting days without even breaks sometimes, the social isolation, and there is a big, you know, blurred line between the work and the rest. The work-life balance has always been an ongoing discussion. depression. But yeah, the pandemic has really tripled this now. And thus, I would say it is extremely important to make sure that the well-being of our employees are really taken care of and we address those issues.
As a supplement to that answer that you just gave us, how important is it in retaining talent if mental well-being of your employees isn't addressed?
I think it's directly correlated. When we look at, again, those surveys that have been conducted, there are many reasons that employees do stay or they leave.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, being recognized, being inclusive, being part of the bigger community, and that being addressed and communicated to them plays a major role in retaining. And if we are talking about the talents there, I think I would just, you know, double up that percentage on how important it is when it comes to retaining our people.
All right. Now, Asia, Singapore presents a unique work culture environment. Now, work culture, staff to management interactions, and awareness of the cause and effect of senior management decisions on employees, all of these play a part in creating an environment where employees feel confident to address mm-hmm. their mental well-being issues with their supervisors, with their HR representatives. How do companies, which have been functioning for a long time, you know, an older model, a more conservative Asian model, how do they pivot and rethink their well-being initiatives?
Well, Clarissa, I don't think there is, you know, one that fits all. Obviously, there are many things that companies can look into, but the most dangerous one would be overlooking or completely ignoring, you know, the well-being of our people.
Mm-hmm.
I think employees in Singapore, and I would put one of, you know, myself into one of those as well, we need to realize that the mental wellness has been thrust in the spotlight in recent years. And, you know, the pandemic that has brought about the unprecedented stressors, including the swift transition, if I might say, from working from home, where limited movements, lockdowns, home-based learning, you know, kids at home, pets at home, we can't simply overlook this. It is there and it needs to be addressed really with every single individual within the organization.
All right. Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I work for an Asian company with Asian bosses. And one of the things that I've heard from my fellow colleagues is some of us don't believe that we can address mental well-being issues in our workplace. Going back to the whole workplace culture, etc., what is your advice to us?
Well, I think we all need to be vocal here, right? I would say don't be afraid to ask if there is a need for help. That help could be, you know, support, maybe some more time or some check-ins with your supervisors. But if that's not coming from your line manager or from the management itself, I think we as employees should be really vocal in addressing those. From the employer's perspective, I understand this might sound to be a delicate area, but as we always say, we should purely focus on what we can control. There is no need to overcommit or, you know, really promise the world here, but we should consider aspects of the situation or the workplace. We should look at what and what cannot be controlled. There are people who can't work from home, and, you know, for those, focusing on measures that can reduce the risk of contracting the virus, such as keeping up with the hygiene on day-to-day basis, might be important. But if you are a line manager, I would say the onus is on you to proactively check in with your team and, you know, every member of the team to ensure that they are coping well. But if you feel that that's not coming from the line manager itself, I think it is completely fine to be more vocal. And Clarissa, I do believe that the generations have different approach here. You know, when we look at the generation Y and Z, they tend to be a bit more vocal. So it's sometimes good to follow what they do as well, I would say. Huh?
So take a page out of the younger generation's playbook.
Yeah.
Why not, indeed? Let's talk about ADECO itself. How do you do it? What are some of the initiatives you have put in place that other companies can learn from?
Well, thanks for asking. Not limited to the last 18 months that, you know, the whole world has been going through, but the work-life balance and the well-being has always been a very important topic in ADECO's life. We do constantly run, exercise programs with the entire team, making sure that it is not only good for their, you know, physical health, but it also creates the connection between the team. Obviously, with the pandemic and the restrictions happening, we moved everything online. I personally am running a 30-minute yoga or, you know, a well-being or a meditation session every Friday at 5 with my direct reports, where we simply, you know, log into our virtual platform and do it all together. And then Friday from 5 o'clock, we encourage everyone to tune down the emails and try not to send too many emails so everyone can actually start enjoying the weekend, enter into the, you know, the break mode and really recharge over the weekend so they can come back refreshed on Monday. It used to be, you know, when we first started doing these online meetings, Carissa, I realized that everyone was blocking an hour time. So you start on at 9 o'clock, and then you come to 12, realizing that you didn't even have a 10-minute break. So we kind of mandated to bring those meetings to 45 minutes, intentionally leaving those 10, 15 minutes to recharge, break, grab a cup of coffee, you know, stretch the legs, change the setting, change the scene before they can go back to the other meeting. So these are, you know, some of the things that we were already having those, but we really encouraged all of our managers to make sure that it goes down to the entire team. And another thing that we are doing is really encouraging the breaks over lunchtime, meaning, you know, we don't really block any meetings during the lunchtime and leave it for their personal time, whatever, you know, they want to do, maybe grab a quick lunch and then, you know, have a 30-minute walk. But that belongs to their personal time and it's not being disrupted.
That sounds good to me. Now, before I let you go, what advice do you have for employers who may have had discussions about implementing well-being initiatives but have yet to take that meaningful action on this front? Because let's be honest, you know, there are companies, and I'm sure you see them amongst your clients as well, businesses who are focused on just surviving these challenging times.
Yeah, that's indeed true. But I think we should all remember a productive and a healthy team will result in better success. So why not give that to our people? Again, I'd like to refer to a study, but happier employers actually reported 12% higher levels of productivity, and they are less likely to leave, like we addressed on retaining the talent. So, I mean, if you want to have a happy employee and engagement, it is important that we keep them engaged so those communication channels are active all the time and they are motivated. I think we can all start small. We don't need to do everything at once. We all need to assess what works best for our organization, what works best for our people. But even those small check-ins, you know, when you start a meeting, rather than going directly into the subject itself, asking how the day is or how the weekend was, any challenges at home with kids, pets, home-based learning, because these are all becoming reality now. And I would also suggest that we should all walk the talk. I mean, there is a lot of information available online, you know, podcasts, books about that. So everyone has a bit of understanding of what needs to be done. But it's not only talking about it, but really being a role model of exercising those in the workplace is important. So I believe these are small initiatives that we can all start doing, which would lead to a happier team and a healthier organization.
So start walking the talk.
Yes.
All right. We've been speaking with Bitul Genk, country manager, Adecco Singapore and Spring Professional, about the importance of mental well-being initiatives in the workplace. Bitul, thank you for the time, for the insights. It has been a pleasure, really.
Likewise, Clarissa. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.